want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Verse 6 begins with this phrase, on that mountain. This is the time of the year when I think about mountains. In the heat, in the flatlands, you think about, if you've been to the mountains, you can imagine the cool in the evening, the cool in the night, the milder days in the mountains. The refreshment, a lot of times in the mountains, the afternoon, these clouds will bunch up and then you'll have a rain and it'll cool things down. And the greenery, the beauty of the mountains. Mountain for ancient Israel was a wonderful idea. And it made a big difference in their thinking when they thought about the mountain. When Israel thinks about the mountain, they're thinking about God being present among them. In spite of all of the problems that they see, in spite of all of the conflicts that they have with their neighbors, in spite of all of the fears that they have about the future, when they hear the word mountain, it makes a difference. And the reason for that is that Jerusalem is built on a series of hills. And one of those hills in particular, one of those mountains in particular, is the Temple Mount. It's the Mount Zion. And the idea there is, here is the temple, here is God who has this most holy place, who dwells among His people. And the idea is not simply that God is in residence, but God is at work in our world, being present in among His people in the temple. That God, one way you might think about the Holy of Holies, if you've studied the temple or not, and the idea of the temple and what's going on in the temple. But it's not simply that God is twiddling His thumbs, sitting between the two cherubim above the ark of the covenant. It's that this is, you might think of the Holy of Holies more in terms of the control booth. That the Holy of Holies is God's presence among not simply Israel, but among Israel for the sake of the whole world. And that God is in control of the world, no matter how chaotic it may seem. No matter how frightening it may be. God is present. God is in control of the world. And so when you hear the word mountain, that's good news. That's a reminder that there is a God, that He is present, He is at work in this world, and He can make a difference. In our previous lessons, as we thought together about the book of Isaiah, one of the things I've mentioned is Isaiah has a several decades long ministry. And during those several decades, there will be a threat coming from one direction, then a threat coming from another direction, and they never know where the next threat's going to come from. Is it going to be Assyria? Is it going to be the Egyptians? Is it going to be Syria? Is it going to be Babylon? Who is next? Or is it actually their kinsman up to the north, Israel? Isaiah, as he works among these two southern tribes of Judah, it's just from any and every direction there are problems. Now, you don't have to read the news very much or listen to the news very much or follow the news on the internet, however you get your news, to know that there are some things that probably make us a little nervous. Don't you think? I mean, these guys over in the northern part of the peninsula that is Korea, doesn't that make you a little nervous? But the same God who was present among His people, who was at work in the world through His people, that same God now is present in another temple. And it's the temple based on Christ as the chief cornerstone built on the apostles and the prophets. And we are the stones that build up that temple. And God dwells among His people even now, the New Testament tells us. And there's a sense in which we're now that new holy mountain as the church. And the reason that's important is God still is present at work among His people in this world. You've probably sung the hymn that's in our hymnal, "The Lord is in His Holy Temple." That comes directly from Habakkuk 2, verse 20. That's the question in the book of Habakkuk. Is God present or not? I sure don't seem to be seeing it right now. That's what's going on in the book of Habakkuk. God, if You're present, why is it so bad? That's what's going on in the book of Habakkuk. And the response to this cry expressed of the people through Habakkuk to God, "God, where are You? And how could You use people who are more evil than we are to bring judgment on us? We've got problems and we are a problem people, but we're not as bad as our neighbors, and yet You're going to use our neighbors to bring judgment on us. God, what's going on here?" And the response of God is, in Habakkuk 2, verse 20, "The Lord is in His holy temple." It's a way of saying, God is present. God is at work. Don't try to think that God is AWOL. The emphasis in that phrase, "God is in His holy temple," is on the word "is." In spite of how things may look to us with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, the fact is God still is at work. God is in His holy temple. And that's the point of Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. I know we read it together a moment ago, but I want to read it again. I want to point out something about some of the language in this passage. When it speaks of covering over the eyes, or veil, yours may use the word veil as it's translated there. It's the idea of a veil that ancient Israel would put on their faces in a time of mourning. It's what you put on that accompanies sackcloth when you're mourning, when you're in sadness, when you're lamenting, when you're wondering, "God, where are You? Why has this happened? Will You come and rescue us?" And this passage is saying, you rightly are lamenting, you rightly are mourning, but that's not going to be forever. Death is not going to have the final say, whether it's the death of Israel. That's the question Israel has when they do go into exile later. Isaiah, part of the work of Isaiah is to prepare the people for boot camp, because they're about to go to Babylon, and God's going to retrain them, and it's not going to be pleasant. But that's not the end of their story. That's just some renovation that God's doing on His people. Because sometimes when we suffer and sometimes when we struggle, it's just God's opportunity to renovate us. Listen again to Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined." There's going to be a banquet to come, and it will be a good one. Even better than our ice cream tonight. "And He will swallow up on this mountain the covering, the veil of mourning," that's the idea there, "that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of His people will be taken away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Waiting's no fun, is it? Especially for Americans. Why wait when we could go now and get something going and something done? Sometimes God trains us and renovates us by making us wait. Our congregation's been a congregation that I think in some ways we've been waiting for a while. God, what's our future? God, what's next for us? God, are you in your holy temple or not? Waiting's no fun. But sometimes waiting is necessary, and sometimes renovation's necessary. I keep thinking maybe God's just working on us to renovate us. It's one thing to renovate your house. It's another thing to be the house, isn't it? How do you like getting your boards torn off and putting new boards up? And yet it's worthwhile. God's preparing us, it seems to me. I don't know for why. But God's preparing us. And as bad as it looks for Judah when Isaiah is speaking here, as bad as it looks, because they're hearing they're going to go into exile. They're going to have to go to boot camp. And it will not be fun over there in Babylon. The message of this passage is that that's not the end of the story. There is another day to come and a better day. And what looks like death, well, there's going to be life. Exile is not the death of Israel. It's the renewal, the recreation. And I think that's why verse 9 ends up saying, so we've got something to rejoice about. In spite of all that's before us that might discourage us if we only believed our eyes, if we only believed our ears, the fact is, on this mountain, the Lord is at work. The Lord is present. The Lord is active, whether we can see it or not. And so we will rejoice in faith, in trust. God is at work in that mountain. God is at work among us. And what to others may look like death is in fact life. I think this passage has some good news for us, don't you?